As I mentioned in a prayer, we are all church members gathered here tonight, and I haven't got the ability to change the sermon on that sort of time. And there will be passages on the gospel. There will be phrases used on the gospel. Let's take that time to pray for our loved ones. Let's take that time to remember our loved ones who are not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I often find it useful in life to go back and just to go back to basics and remind oneself of what we're doing. The role of a preacher has a different emphasis depending on the particular service or meeting. At this church, we focus on the gospel in our Sunday morning services. We focus on teaching on our Sunday evening services, and our Bible studies on a Thursday. We drill down into the detail of a particular passage to seek to learn from it and to ground our faith more firmly in the teaching of the Bible. So here we are on a Sunday evening, and the purpose of tonight is to teach, to warn, and to encourage. Now, I'm acutely aware that we are giving thanks to God this day for our harvest. So I want to get as near as I can to a harvest theme by referring to Amos chapter 9 and verse 9. Amos chapter 9, verse 9. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. Now, it's always very, very important to be aware of the context of a verse or a passage of which is being preached upon. And it's even more important in some ways if that passage is an individual verse. The Bible tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we need to be very careful to review, when we review individual words of a text, in the context that they were given in the inspired word of God. And I'm indebted to Pastor for the background information regarding Amos. Now, I like Amos. I feel that I have some affinity with Amos. Amos was not a prophet in the usual sense of the word. He was a farmer and a shepherd. Amos chapter 7, verse 14 tells us this. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. I'm comforted by this, that a normal man, if you like, was called upon to do a service for God. He wasn't a prophet in that way, just a farmer and a tender of trees. Now, Amos was working for God about 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came on earth. He was a key part of God's sovereign plan from birth. He was allocated a role because the name Amos has a meaning of burden bearer. What a responsibility. We can know through the writings of the Bible that he had quite a task to warn the people of Israel, to bear that burden, to bring before them God's word. Now, Amos was the last of God's workers to give a warning to Israel of impending judgment. Now, I was struck with this point as I prepared to speak tonight. It was Israel's last opportunity to corporately be warned by God, to seek God's forgiveness for their disobedience as a country and as individuals, the last opportunity. Who amongst us can say, I will do this tomorrow, I will do that tomorrow? Who can say, well, I will plan my next holiday? I've done that recently, but that's beside the point. I will intend to do this or do that or achieve something in the coming days. Our times are in the palm of God's hand. No one knows what the next moment will bring. And if we had had unconverted people here tonight, I was going to say, is this your last opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel? Can we say that we'll look at it next week? Can we say that we'll apply ourselves to these things in the future? No one knows our last moment. And that is a sobering thought. And even in the last days, world news, shocking things have happened when young children and others, their life was snuffed out in a moment. No one knows when God will call us to eternity. Back to the context of Amos. Israel was doing well at the time of Amos. There was prosperity, but there was religious apathy, and the people were forsaking God and they were turning to false religions. They had been warned, and now God was going to judge them. And the passage which we read, the whole of Amos chapter 9, he was going to judge them hard. You know, we don't probably in some ways understand how pure and how holy God is and how seriously God takes the disobedience of people. And it has to be said, is this country heading towards a harsh, harsh judgment of God because this country particularly has turned away, and it could be said has been turned away from the things of God. God was about to judge the people of Israel. They were soon to be put into captivity. And it's a description in many ways of our country at this time. But back to our text, our verse. For surely I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations as grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. So three points to help us to focus and to structure our thoughts tonight. Firstly, who is being sifted? Who is doing the sifting? And what is the comfort to us in this verse? Who is being sifted? Who is doing the sifting? And what is the comfort to us from this verse? Firstly, then, who is being sifted? Now, in the context of Amos chapter 9, it was the faithful of the Lord, the remnant, who were being sifted. The whole country was being sifted, but God, in this particular verse, was focusing on those who loved him and who trusted him, those who had continued to follow the ways of the Lord, those who had worshipped and loved the Lord God, those who had not turned aside to follow false gods and idols. These were God's people, the ones who are left, despite opposition, despite terrible influence to do other things. These were the people who had hung on to trusting and loving God. These people, this remnant, were not going to escape the judgment of God, which was coming upon all of the people of Israel. But God knew them and God loved them. Nothing will come to pass upon these people which is not under the direction of the Lord God. This is the caring God, the compassionate God, the merciful God. But the sifting process was not just a point in only in the history of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ used the same terminology in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. So this is something which goes on, which happens all the time. So we, as God's beloved people, continue to be sifted, tested in our faith. But through that process, we are effectively refined and built up in the Lord, strengthened, and enjoy even a closer walk with the Lord our God. Are you able to delight in that fact tonight? Do you have such a relationship with the true and living God in your life that he works with you, building you up, taking so much notice of your every word, thought, and deed? Are you trusting in God through the salvation of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Now is the time of salvation. Seek him and know that peace and assurance in your life today. If you're looking at this as a recording, these words are for us. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then think about these things. Think about if God loves you so much that he wants to sift you and to build you up, or do you not know that in your life at this time? So that is who is being sifted. Who is doing the sifting? And I actually want, in order to understand a bit more around this this text, is to look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is a passage of solemnity. It's a passage of solemnity to us. Who is doing the sifting? Now, we must always start from the position that our God is in total control of all things. God is sovereign. Now, we need to really understand that. We think about some of the sovereigns of this world, and some of them are just sort of traditional heads, and they don't really have that power. In days of old, the king or the queen, in some instances, they were sovereign. They had overall power over all the people. Our sovereign God has overall power over everything. And that is the one who is in control. Everything that comes our way is under the constraint of sovereign God. There's no luck. Luck is actually a terrible phrase, isn't it? There's no luck in this world. Everything comes to us from the sovereign God. And we can take comfort in that fact. We're going to think about that a little bit more later on. But everything that comes our way is through our God. And there's scriptures to back that up, obviously. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We may not feel comfortable sometimes when being sifted. We may not enjoy it, but it is for our good. And we have to just trust in the path which the sovereign God is taking us, because his ways are past finding out. We're not able to fathom them, obviously, because they are God's ways. However, in the process of sifting under God's control, Acts 20 tells us that others are involved. Verse 29 in Acts 20 talks about savage wolves. Now, this is not a good picture, is it? If you see a pack of wolves on a nature program, it's not a good sight. It's not a good thing. So we are warned here with strong warnings that there are savage wolves out there. Now, the devil obviously has a hand in this, taking each and every opportunity to distract, to split, to pour in disbelief into our individual lives and into our church life, to encourage backsliding, to introduce political laws that are designed to restrict and hamper the work of our Lord God, even to a level of putting in parking restrictions that does nothing to help us, to make Islam the prominent religion in this area. to discourage us with being few in number, to witness the decline of religion in this country, the watering down of God's words. Good churches, which we used to have confidence in, are now not following the word of God completely. And this introduces another person who is doing the sifting, if you like, or group of people. In verse 30, even there is the possibility, the potential from our own ranks to have people coming along and introducing things which are a slight tangent at first, a slightly different way of looking things. Oh, don't worry about that. Why do you have an evening service? Not many people come. These people, even from our own ranks, the word of God warns us they will come along and they will seek to disrupt and distract and to encourage us to do things differently. And we need to be very, very mindful of these things at this time. They will entice people away. The prosperity gospel, I don't know now whether that's such a big thing, but how many people were encouraged to go from good churches to go and listen how they could make some more money? And these things are out there. These things are out there. People wanting different things. They're wanting entertainment. The word of God, that's where we should be. That's what we should be doing. But what is our response? What are we to do? We are to seek the face of God. Acts 2, verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." We have a responsibility here. We have a responsibility to pray, and to pray hard, that God will bless us. God will build us up. God will provide us with a new pastor, a man after his own heart, who will take hold of this church and lead it forward in the ways of the word of God, not being swayed, not being distracted, but a man who loves the word of God and will lead us, will encourage us, and will take us forward in the future. But we have that responsibility to pray that God will do these things. We have a personal responsibility to stand firm and strong as individuals, each one of us, and corporately as a gathering of God's people. A sure way to endure is found in the guidance of verse 32 of Acts 20. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. To stand firm, to read God's word, to rely on it. Now, we know that the Christian life is a battle. We are going to be sifted. I would even say that we are being sifted at this time. But we look to God, our God, for strength and support. Acts 16, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Do we not believe that anymore? Do we think, oh no, that was those days. Things are different now. Our God hasn't changed. Our God is the same as he was then, as he will be in the days to come. And we need to have that faith and that determination to pray down God's blessing. Now, the church officers also have a responsibility here. In Acts 20, verse 28, there's a word to shepherd. Now, I've got to say that I prefer the word in the King James Version, to feed. That word shepherd in the New King James Version is feed in the King James Version. So there's a responsibility on the church officers to feed our fellow Christians, to look after our fellow members, to nourish the people of God, to sustain them, providing for them. Now, that is an awesome responsibility, but it's a responsibility which sits with the church officers at this time, and we need to work at that. We need to encourage people and build them up and feed them as much as we can. Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We were not promised an easy life. We were told it's going to be a battle. It's a race. Now, a race, you have to pant and suffer and work hard at it. But this is what we are about. This is what we need to do. Finally, our last point. What is the comfort? We turn back to Amos chapter 9 to remind ourselves. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. There is such encouragement here, such encouragement. If we are truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, however weak, however backslidden we are, however distracted we are by other matters, however weighed down we are by earthly matters, there is godly comfort here. Yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. That's talking about God's people. God will keep us safe. God will watch over us. It doesn't matter how small or insignificant we are. If we are the Lord's, then God will look after us. God will watch over us. God will take care of us. What comforting, what comfort this affords to us. Now, sifting, I'm sure, can be acquainted with persecution. Even the harshest persecution, we will not fall to the ground, as it were. Surely this is how God sustains the persecuted saints through the ages who are sorely tempted and tried during persecution. Matthew 5, verses 11 to 12 says to us, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Our goal as God's people is not to have a comfortable and easy life. Our goal as God's people is to work for him, to live for him, to be a good witness for him. And he will watch over us, he will comfort us, he will look after us. Again, another verse in the Bible says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. We have a promise of eternity with our God, a peace that passeth understanding. But this is also a very solemn message for us to take note of in Amos 9, verse 9. For the Christian, this is without doubt a verse of comfort and a beautiful verse that we are watched over and we are looked after. But that verse tells us about stuff which dropped through the sieve. And not everyone is safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those people, our loved ones, at this time, who are not safe in the arms of Jesus, and we need to pray for them. We need to burden our hearts for our loved ones. We need to ask God, in these times of small things, it has to be said, in these times of small things, that God will speak to our loved ones and that he will bless them and that they may come to know him. We rejoice as God's people that we are safe, eternally safe in the arms of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that inheritance of heaven We have that eternal hope of peace and comfort. We have that assurance, that blessing. And we look to God to continue with us, to be with us, to watch over us and comfort us as we are sifted. No doubt we will be sifted, probably more in the future than we have been as individuals and as a group of God's people. But we look to him for that sustaining power and for that presence in our life. As Spurgeon said earlier on in those words, we look for that deeper and better and greater experience of walking with God, loving him more, knowing him more, trusting in him more, and being much, much closer to our Lord God. Let us